As the coronavirus sweeps us off our streets, out of classrooms, and into our homes, a lot of work has been canceled, postponed, or gone digital. Amidst the scrambling and anxiety, though, there's a calming absence of cars on the road and a clearer, bluer Colorado sky. On an almost empty Pearl Street, an old Go Vegan flyer preaches to an absent audience. It leads me to think, where are Boulder's prominent environmental activists? I began my search with CU alum, eco-activist, and engineer, Joan Gregerson. Joan is the founder of the Green Team Academy and the Online Earth Week Summit. For 2 years, the Online Earth Week Summit has connected environmental activists with digital speakers, workshops, and webinars. She's a seasoned pro at bringing people together, in person or via webcam, and was able to give us a fascinating look as to how COVID-19 has affected environmental activism.
So originally it was going to be grassroots climate action, but then after the coronavirus like stopped everything and people started realizing, oh, we're going to create a new normal. So then it became creating the world we want. And so that was the question to all the speakers. And there was 21 speakers. And so that became the question, is how do we create the world we want? And then we had our Zoom happy hours in the evening with different topics. And so we kept saying, how do we create the world we want now that it's more obvious that we can create a new normal?
Joan was quick to point out that although it is no longer possible to organize protests and meet in person, there are plenty of other options when it comes to environmental activism. She cited Zoom, a now very popular video chat app, as a fantastic way to get in touch with other activists and coordinate action.
A lot of people are using Zoom now, and it's really important to know that there's different types of Zoom that you can sign up for, and there are other options. So Zoom is great if you want to do, everybody calls it like the Brady Bunch style. So you got a bunch of people and you see everybody's faces. And so when you're designing your event, do it strategically. So what we did was in the evenings, we had happy hours, Zoom happy hours. And I wanted to have a space where it was very egalitarian and not hierarchical. So we had someone that facilitated the happy hours, but they weren't dominating the discussion.
Joan also wanted to impress upon us the importance of community and establishing a team when organizing climate action.
Time and time again, when people say, take climate action, they'll say things like, use less fossil fuels. And it's like, no, start a team. That's your number one action, start a team. And then you guys as a team figure out how to use less fossil fuels.
Joan left us with the impression that it is not only highly possible to adapt to the changes we are currently experiencing, but that it has opened an opportunity for nuanced ways in which environmental activism could proceed.
Well, you know, we've been struggling and these incremental changes aren't getting us there fast enough, but now we have an opportunity to rethink and reimagine. So I think that the other part of online learning is you have to get over the fact people will sign up for stuff and they don't show up. And you just have to love that and let it go.
Next, we spoke with dedicated student and environmental activist Ruby Rorty, whose work began in high school organizing beach cleanups. By the age of 18, she was working on social media campaigns for the Earth Echo International Youth Leadership Council. And several years later, she became a student advisor for this program, in addition to the environmental community at the University of Chicago. She offered valuable insight into the ways in which COVID-19 has transformed students' environmental activism in the past several months.
I think we've had a relatively easy time getting in touch because very fortunately folks in my network have had steady internet connection, which has been the biggest boon. We are spread across time zones, but so long as some of us are willing to get up earlier, stay up late, which college students usually are, at least the staying up late part, we've been able to get on pretty successfully.
Like Joan, Ruby emphasizes the role of technology in ensuring that activists remain connected and able to coordinate action.
Zoom has been really helpful. I found that calls are much more successful when we can see each other's faces, that even though sometimes it's tempting, I find myself just wanting to dial in and be on my phone because it's easier and I don't have to worry about how I look. For organizing calls, I think we found it much more successful to be able to see each other's faces and really communicate, and it leads to just a different level of collaboration. So that's been really helpful.
She also commented on a surprising upside to the transition to remote environmental activism.
An unexpected benefit of working remotely has actually been the support we've been able to provide each other. So the young activists in my network have probably been like the biggest boon to my mental health since leaving campus. Whereas ordinarily when we're together, we're just talking about projects, we're talking about campaigns, we're really brainstorming what we can do to make our community better. I think in isolation, we've started to reach out to each other a lot more and maybe acknowledge more the need for support and the need to take care of each other's mental health during this time.
To help us answer any remaining questions we had, we spoke with Kristen Casper, a senior legal counsel for Greenpeace International based in Boulder. Since 2009, she has been actively involved in developing climate lawsuits over numerous countries, dealing with matters of liability as well as environmental justice issues. She helped to illuminate the reality of shifting priorities in the environmental activist community following the arrival of COVID-19.
I think the biggest change is obviously that for the communities, which are at the heart of this case, you know, we're not able to meet with people face to face, but it's not stopping anyone. But what we do see is that right now the priority for Greenpeace, like everyone, is really to slow the pandemic, is to flatten the curve. And so, you know, like everyone else, Greenpeace offices, Greenpeace International, we're just putting families and communities first to take care and to keep everyone safe and healthy, and really focusing on the doctors, the nurses, the janitors, the shop, people working in all the stores. They're the first priority.
For years, climate activists have voiced the importance of learning how to adapt to rising sea levels, to warming temperatures, and to strengthen natural disasters. While the coronavirus drastically shifts our daily lives, our work, and our relationships, we learned how to make it work, how to adapt. We have proved our ability to reorganize our lives to protect others and ourselves from the threat of COVID-19. To environmental activists, our communal triumphs over adversity affirms our ability to create the radical change we need to protect our climate. And with that message, I thank you, and I wish you the best luck.